Today is lesson number 23. Lesson 23, this is our next to last lesson. Next week we'll finish the book of Acts. Alright, Lord willing. Next week we'll finish the book. And today is Paul, a preacher, shipwrecked. He is going to be shipwrecked. This isn't the first time that he's going to be shipwrecked, but this is the first account that we read details. He tells us in one of his epistles that he was shipwrecked three times. We don't know the details about the previous two. This time we get the full story, every detail. As a matter of fact, they say this is one of the most detailed accounts of a shipwreck that has been recorded. So this is an interesting story here, and the lesson starts off with the introduction. This lesson might also be called When the Storm Hits. You think about life and how life can be filled with storms, and what do you do when the storm hits? And it also shows us how to be safe. First blank, how to be safe when life has you in a shipwreck. Paul's going to show us what he did when he was facing a shipwreck. One man has said, life is a great sea and our lives are like little boats. And we're all in a little boat on life's sea. I mean, of course, there's other stories in the Bible about that. We might mention a few. And it could also be seen as the beginning of Paul's prison ministry. Paul had a prison ministry. He was a prisoner. He wasn't just a visitor to the prison. He became a resident of the prison. And so this is Paul's ending. I mean, you know, not that his life ends in this chapter, but his ministry is winding down now. Not that he's slowing down. Let's look at two verses before we actually read in Acts. Look at 2 Timothy 2:9. Paul never stopped preaching. So his ministry may have taken on a different aspect, but he hasn't slowed down. Look at 2 Timothy 2:9. Maybe somebody would like to read that for us.
We're in a cup of trouble as an even brother. We know the bond, but the word of God is not bound.
Basically, Paul is saying that I'm in bonds. I'm in prison, but the word of God is not bound. The word was still going out. He was still preaching. And then look at Philippians 1:12. Somebody would like to read that. Philippians 1:12. See how Paul kept going on. Philippians 1:12. Well, no. Chapter 1, verse 12 starts off, but I would.
Ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto furtherance of the gospel.
He said, the things that have happened to me, even though I'm a prisoner, the gospel's going out even more now. So, very interesting attitude he had. So, Paul is a preacher that's going to be in shipwreck. Let's start number one this morning with the smooth sailing. That's how it starts. Smooth sailing. Everything is fine and dandy at first. So Acts 27 verse 1. Acts 27 verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And it says, and entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. So Paul wasn't alone. He had a fellow believer with him on board there, Aristarchus, who is mentioned in other letters. So, letter A, now Paul is officially on his voyage to Rome. This is his official voyage to Rome. And this was God's ultimate goal for him. God told Paul, you're going to testify for me in front of kings. He already did in front of King Agrippa, and now he's going to appear before Caesar Augustus. So he's appearing before high officials. And God told him he would. And Paul's being taken care of. Look at verse 3. The next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. So Paul was being well treated on this prison trip. So letter B, the centurion treated Paul with kindness. He did get treated with kindness. So, Paul's life is different, but he's being treated with kindness. So, he's on his voyage to Rome, and letter B, he's being treated with kindness. Question?
Now,
If he was, he was, I'm sure, in custody still, but yes. The Bible tells us he was able to visit with people. He was allowed to. I'm sure he still had the guards with him, watching him, but he was allowed to go places. Now, verse 4 through 8 show us that they were at the mercy of the weather. You ever feel like you're at the mercy of the weather? They were. Look at verse 4. It says, we had launched from thence, and we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there, the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So they found another ship that was going to Alexandria. They went there, or sailing into Italy. They're there at Alexandria. They're going to Italy. And men have said in books that this was a grain ship, bringing grain, and they would just throw the prisoners on there, you know, just add them on and take them into Italy where they would be tried and then most of them put in prison. Some of them probably sent to the gladiators, right? The Roman Colosseum, some of them. Because, the Romans, we know, were a cruel people. And if you were guilty of something, they'd put you in with the lions or they'd put you in with the gladiators and tell you fight to the death or whatever. I mean, that's what they did. So some of these prisoners, that's their fate. We'll see what Paul's fate is. But they're put on a ship that's sailing from Alexandria. We go to verse number 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. Verse 8. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. So, they're at the mercy of the wind. They're at the mercy of the weather. How fast the wind blows determines how fast they arrive at their destination. Some have said that this trip should have only taken maybe a week or so, or a few weeks. It ended up taking them over 6 months. Delays. Delay after delay after delay. They were at the mercy of the weather. And that is letter C. The weather determined everything for them. They're at the mercy of the weather, which means they're at the mercy of God. Little do they know. And they have a prisoner on board whom God cares very much about, named Paul. So God's in control of everything, and the weather determined everything for them. And in verse 9, God actually reveals something to Paul. Verse 9, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. This is going to be a very dangerous voyage, Paul warns them. And that's letter D. It was revealed to Paul that danger was ahead. Danger. He says, I just want you guys to understand, this is not going to be an easy voyage. God allowed Paul to know this. And of course, now we have the question, what do we do? The captain of the ship and the centurion. It was ultimately up to the centurion, being the Roman official on board, what they were supposed to do, because this centurion was responsible for all these prisoners. So in verse number 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. See the details here. I mean, directions and cities, all kinds of details. They didn't want to stay where they were. So the centurion, letter E, believed what we call here the professionals, and decided to set sail. Letter E. The centurion decided to believe the professionals, and decided to set sail. Paul was not a professional sailor. So who do we listen to? I mean, who would you listen to? You'd be more inclined to listen to those who are professional sailors. And that's what they did. Who should they have listened to? They should have listened to Paul. But they said, no, listen, Paul's saying we shouldn't go, but, you know, the captain says we should go. The other people on board say we shouldn't stay here for the winter. We should really just get out now while we can. Be careful about, you know, where we get our advice from, right? Now, I know some people, I want to get my advice from a professional. Well, listen, God's Word gives us the best advice. And if God says not to do something, I don't care what the professionals say. If God says don't, and the professionals say, no, you should, you don't listen to the professionals. Okay, no matter what they say. Sometimes, you know, people want to get counseling, and I want to get professional counseling. So they go to some person that has a degree in counseling, but doesn't believe one word of the Bible. That's not a good place to go for counseling. You understand? But be careful about listening to professional advice. We need to listen to God's word, okay? Now, we go to verse number 13. Everything looks great. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. They said, this is a great day. I mean, come on, Paul. What are you talking about? It's a beautiful day. Perfect for sailing. Let's go. But letter F, favorable circumstances in the present do not guarantee ease in the future. Everything might be fine and dandy now. Doesn't mean it's going to be around the corner. So they decide to set sail, and they don't listen to Paul, and they just go. So this is the smooth sailing. Everything's easy when the sailing is smooth, right? No problems. But then we go to Roman numeral 2, and we meet the strong storm. Number 2. Not long after, we have a change of events. The strong storm. Look at verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Some have compared this storm to what we would know here as a nor'easter. Bad storm. And one of those storms that basically parks right over you. You know, the storm comes in and it just stays there for 2-3 days. You've seen those storms. We've seen those storms here. And that's what they encounter. And letter A, it's a hurricane-like storm. Letter A. Soon after their departure, they faced a hurricane-like storm. This storm was basically like a hurricane. Strong winds and rain. And so this is like a hurricane, letter A. This is definitely a strong storm. Look at the description of it in verse 15. The ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. So they basically had to just, you know, let go because there was no fighting the storm. All right? And they tried. Look at verse 16. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Verse 17, they had trying to tie up the ship in a way to prevent the boards from breaking in verse 17, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sailing, so we're driven. Verse 18, again, still tossed the next day. I mean, here's day 2 of the storm. They're lightening the ship in verse 18, throwing stuff out that is not absolutely essential. Verse 19, day 3 of the storm, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. I mean, this is not a small storm. 3 days. So letter B, the whole ship was in a frenzy, trying to beat the storm. They're in a frenzy trying to beat this storm. Trying to weather it out. Trying to keep that storm, or that ship, from sinking. Sir? No, F was future, and 2 was strong. Yes. Alright, F was the future and 2 was strong, and then A, hurricane-like, and B, they're trying to beat the storm. Now look at verse 20. How would you feel? Verse 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be safe was then taken away. You lose hope. I mean, you know, 1 day, okay. 2 days, alright. 3 days, what's going on here? 4 days, are we ever going to get out of this? So that's easy. It's easy to give up hope, letter C. Very easy to give up hope when you're in the storm. Storms hit our lives. Storms hit our homes. And sometimes they don't just last 1 or 2 days. Sometimes they last a whole week or longer. And we start to give up hope. We start to question things. We start to wonder, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to get out of this? Is this the way is this how it's going to end? We begin to ask those questions, don't we? When there's problems in the home and the weather is stormy. It's not smooth sailing. That's what's going on in this ship right now. The attitude is, are we going to get out of this alive? That's a real concern. This is not just a little shower passing through. This is a huge storm. They don't know what to do. They don't know if they're going to get out of it. But they have somebody on board that knows the Lord. That makes all the difference. You wonder how unsaved people do it, right? We wonder, how do unsaved people weather the storms of life? And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go overboard. Sometimes they jump out of the ship, don't they? And they just give up and they lose it. They lose their minds sometimes. But there's somebody on board with number three, what we can call sound sense. He's got a sound mind. He's going to give some good advice. Sound sense. One person has called this some sturdy common sense. That's what Paul has. Verse 21, Paul does speak out. Notice verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said. Now, what that means is he held himself back for a while. You know, it's one of those situations where you want to say something, but you're kind of, I don't know if I should. He wanted to say this, and he does now, finally, after many days. He says, sirs, verse 21, ye should have hearkened unto me. He does take the opportunity. You should have listened to me. I said not to set sail. He says, you should have listened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. You see? Isn't that one of those told you so's? I told you to be careful. So letter A, you know what's good for us? Letter A, it always does us well to heed the warning before the trouble. Heed the warning, letter A. Listen to the warning before the trouble arrives. Everybody cries out after the trouble. If we listen to the warning before, we'll keep ourselves out of a lot of trouble. Now, sometimes storms come to our life, not because of any fault of our own. That's true. There's stories like that in the Bible. But this was an example where they may have been able to prevent it. Some storms we bring on ourselves. Some storms in our homes are our own fault. We cause some storms. Maybe because of our foolish decisions. And we bring upon ourselves a lot of trouble, don't we? If we would heed God's warnings and avoid those things, we might prevent some storms. Look at Colossians 1:28. Paul said, I warned you. And you know, God's word gives us a lot of warnings. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Somebody would like to read that. Colossians 1:28. Sword goes here. Colossians 1:28 starts off, whom we preach.
Okay.
Yes, you got it?
1:28.
Yes.
Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ.
What's Paul saying here?
Oh, wait, I'm in Colossians.
No, you got it. That's right. You got it. He said, whom we preach, warning every man, and then he talks about teaching in all wisdom, to present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. A lot of the Bible's words to us are warnings. Don't do this, don't go there, avoid this, avoid that. A lot of warnings we need to listen to. So Paul gave them warnings, but they didn't listen. So verse 22, Paul says, well, he says, I got good news though. We're in a bad situation, but I do have good news for you, verse 22. He says, now, Acts 27:22. I exhort you to be of good cheer. And they look at him. What is there to be of good cheer about? We're in the middle of a hurricane. He says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So I got good news and bad news. The good news is nobody's going to lose their life. The bad news is the ship is going to be done. This ship is going to be destroyed. But he says, the good news is nobody's going to lose their life. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Why? Because that was God's will. And guess what? God's will be accomplished no matter what storms arrive. God's will is going to be accomplished. He says, Paul, don't worry. You have to stand before Caesar, so you're going to make it. And he says, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I'm also going to protect everybody with you, Paul. Well, that's good news. So, yes, things are crazy. The storm is raging. The ship will be destroyed. And you think everything is hopeless, but you're going to live. I guess maybe that's a good thing to remember when we're going through a storm, right? I'll make it through. I'll survive. God's going to see me through the storm. Don't give up hope. Things might crash around you. Some things might get destroyed around you, but as long as you're in God's will, you understand, and as long as God still has a job for you, you're preserved. God has our days numbered, okay? And nothing's going to change that. And if he's still got a job for you and you're walking with him, no matter what may be crumbling around you, you're safe. You're safe in the storm when you're in the Lord's will. You're safe. And that's God's word to Paul. Paul, you're going to make it because I have a plan for you, Paul, and I'm not done with you. You're not going to lose your life on the sea. I have a job for you still. So, letter B, Paul had complete confidence. That's what we need. Complete confidence that God would keep his promise, even while the storm was still raging. I mean, the storm is still raging and everybody's giving up hope, but Paul said, God told me we're going to make it, and I have confidence in God's word. He says, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He says, I serve the Lord. And he told me we're going to make it. In verse 25 again, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So it's not going to be easy, but I believe God. I believe what God says. That's important. Letter C. We can be of good cheer despite the circumstances when we know the Lord is with us and we are in His will. We can be of good cheer. No matter what's going on around you, you can still be of good cheer. You can have a good attitude. That's what it means. Be of good cheer. Have a good attitude. Don't give up hope. Don't be depressed. Don't be discouraged. Don't think, oh, my life is gone and done. I'm no good. Don't think that way. That's negativity. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to be negative. When we're negative, we're not really going to serve the Lord, are we? No. But when we're of good cheer, we're going to be all right. And in verse 27, Paul and everybody's there. The 14th night was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and they sounded. They found a 20 fathoms. Sounded again a little farther, again 15 fathoms. And they got a little fearful, thinking they were going to fall upon rocks, shallow waters. They cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Wow. Don't bail out. Stay in the boat. That's tough advice to follow. If you're in the ship, and that ship is, you think that ship's going to be destroyed, your natural reaction is to jump out. But Paul said, nobody can leave the ship. Everybody has to stay in. And that's letter D. The storm may shake things up, but we must stay in the boat until Christ calms it. Stay in the boat. The temptation is to jump out. The temptation is when problems come is to bail. I'm out of here. And it's easy to run. But Paul says, if you want to survive this storm, you got to stay in the ship. Don't bail out. And that's good advice to us. Don't bail out. And in verse 32, the soldiers listened. They said, all right, you know, Paul warned us once. We didn't listen and things got ugly. We're going to listen this time. They're listening to Paul now. And in verse 32, they cut the ropes and they let those little boats go. They didn't try to bail out. They listened to Paul this time. Verse 33, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fail or fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, and notice, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. How many people are on this ship anyway? Anybody know? It's later in the chapter. 276 men. And it says, he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Would we say that the majority of these people on board are believers or unbelievers? These are unbelievers. Not just, you know, I don't think we would call them nice unbelievers. These are inmates. These are guys with criminal records. But he's not afraid to stop and give thanks to God in front of all these people. That's brave. That's courage. That's courage. But first, letter E. Paul had good common sense, doesn't he? He says, guys, we got to stop and eat some food. You guys are weak. We're about to encounter some more danger. You need to eat now. They haven't eaten, probably mostly because of the storm, I would say. You know, when you're in the middle of a hurricane on a ship, you probably don't feel like eating. But he says, guys, we got to stop and eat. We got to take a minute and eat. Because you need strength. It's for your health. So he had good common sense and saw to it that everybody ate well. And letter F, he was not afraid to give the Lord thanks in front of unbelievers. We need to be that way. Don't allow the group of people you're with to affect your behavior. Alright? Don't hide it under a bushel, as Jesus says. Don't hide the light because there's unbelievers around. So he uses some good common sense, and he's not afraid to give thanks. And it says in verse 36, they ate, and they were all of good cheer. It helped them. You know, they needed to eat. Good common sense. Paul says, let's eat first. Well, now we go to number four, the ending of the story. The safe shipwreck, if there ever was an oxymoron. The safe shipwreck. Verse 37. Here it is. And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. That's the King James Version's way of saying 276. A score is 20, so 3 score is 60 plus 16, 76, so 276. And you know what, letter A? It could be said that Paul was really the one responsible for these 276 lives on board. You think about that. If Paul wasn't on that ship, what would happen to these guys? They would probably all die. But God preserved the ship because of Paul. There's that principle in the Bible where God will spare people, maybe because one person amongst them is faithful to the Lord. Think about that. That happened with when Abraham prayed. God told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Wicked city. And remember Abraham's prayer, his conversation with God was, Lord, if there were 50 there, would you spare it? God said, yes, I would. If there were 40 there, would you spare it? Yes, I would, God said. If there were 30, 20, and he got all the way down to 10, if there were 10 righteous in that city, would you spare that city, God? God said, yes, I would. Isn't that amazing? And why has God spared America from further judgments, I believe? Because there's still, thankfully, there's still some faithful churches in this land. And faithful believers in this land. Praise the Lord for that. God will spare. He might spare your family because you're the only saved one in your family. Who knows? God will, you know, we are called salt and light. And salt preserves, prevents spoilage. And so here, the whole ship is saved, I believe, because of one man, Paul. And verse 38 tells us that, oh no, we already read verse 38. But let's go ahead and write letter B. Letter B. Paul being on board actually saved the lives of all the prisoners. I don't know if they even really realized that. But it did. Verse 38. They had eaten. They cast things out again. Verse 39. When it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek. And basically at that point in time, they said, we're running this ship right up this creek. And that's what the captain decided to do. Verse 40, they pull up the anchors, and they said, that's it, let's go. And they hoised up the mainsail, and they made toward shore. And in verse 41, they fell into a place where the two seas met, and they ran the ship aground. They ran it into the ground. What a picture. And here it says the fore part, if you could picture this, the front of the ship stuck fast. In other words, got stuck in the ground and remained unmovable. But the rear of the ship got broken off. So basically, this ship just got ripped in half, this whole ship. And I'm sure this was a good-sized ship. Ripped in half. And it says, broken with the violence of the waves. And in verse 42, the soldiers' counsel, now here we go again. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Again, if Paul wasn't on board, they would have. Because this was on their watch. What would the centurion, want to appear to his authority and say, we just lost 276 prisoners. Yeah, good job, buddy. You think you're still going to have a job?
No.
You're going to be dead. Yeah, we just 276 prisoners are now on the loose. So they just ran away because we shipwrecked. No, they were going to kill them all. But look at verse number 43. The centurion said no. He stopped the soldiers. He was willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest grab a board or something and, you know, paddle back to land. And that's what they did in verse 44. Notice the last few words, very important words. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So first of all, letter C, once the ship ran aground, it split in half and everybody had to swim to shore themselves. And they did. They all got to shore. They had to swim. And letter D, the point of those last few words, God kept His promise. I mean, they were ready to give up hope. It was hopeless. It was a very difficult situation, but God kept His promise. Everybody made it safe to land. And letter E, what a wonderful thing it is to trust the Word of God. That's what Paul did. This is a story of a man who had complete trust in God. What a wonderful thing it is to trust the Word of God. Because even when you're in the midst of the storm, if you can trust God's Word, you can weather the storms. Even when things get crazy in your life, as long as you keep that anchor of the Bible in your life, you're going to be all right. But it's when we get away from the Bible, when we start to doubt it, and when we start to question it, that's when we're really going to be in a shipwreck. And that's when we're going to be in trouble. So this is, again, Paul is still preaching. And I wonder what we're not done with the story because next week we'll cover the next chapter. But I'm sure now, if people weren't ready to listen to Paul before, I bet you now they're ready to listen to Paul. I mean, he called it. Not because he's some kind of fortune teller. No, not at all. Because he knew the Lord. And you know, God allows us, I think, to go through some storms sometimes. So that we can weather the storms, and then when somebody else is going through it, they can ask you and say, well, how did you go through that and not lose your mind? And you can tell them. You know, why does God allow Christians to go through difficulties? Why does God allow Christians to go through hard times? I think it's so we can be a testimony to unbelievers. So that unbelievers see, oh wow, so Christians don't have a perfect life. Oh wow, so Christians do have problems like me. But they handle it better. How? And that can open up their hearts. That's sometimes why God allows Christians to go through hard times. You know, sometimes we ask, well, you know, if God loved me, why does this happen? Why? Well, because He wants you to be a testimony. You see? So, that's what Paul was. Everybody else on the ship is losing their mind. And Paul stands up and says, alright guys, be of good cheer. And they look at him like he's crazy. But you know, when they were all safe on land, I'm sure they were listening now to Paul. And Paul's going to have another opportunity in the next chapter to be a good example. All right, we'll close here, but Brother Tony, go ahead.